And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, in with you. And we do want to continue our conversations with the school districts. I know we've had a couple of school districts on. I know things have already changed for some. So always check with your school district at the time that you need the information just to make sure that things are updated. But today is AC Valley's Day. So on the phone with me is Dr. David McDivitt. Hello, Dr. McDivitt. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy, and good morning to everybody in Butler County.
And I say it that way because you just completed your doctorate, so congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, you've been in your position for some time, though, and so my first question, as I have posed to everyone that I've talked to, all the superintendents, is as you're going through this, this can't be something that you ever anticipated. When you're all by yourself, what goes through your heart? What goes through your mind at night as you're trying to deal with this pandemic and getting kids back to school?
Wow, that's a great question. To begin with, I've been with AC Valley since 2006. I was hired on as an assistant high school principal. I became principal. I worked as elementary principal for a short period of time, and I'm just starting my ninth year as superintendent, and just absolutely love the school district and our local communities, and feel honored to be able to serve everybody. With that being said, you know, I worry about the safety and security of the students and staff, you know, not only the physical well-being and to ensure that everybody can get back in here and we can function, but, you know, every other aspect of that associated with the time off and to reacquaint everybody back into face-to-face instructions. We have a full week of in-service and Act 80 days for our teachers, so we'll be working with them to ensure that we could provide a robust educational program, both face-to-face and remote. So really, you know, what worries me is just the safety, the uncertainty of this COVID-19 disease that's out there. And, you know, we're doing our best, and we'll encourage everybody to continue to wear face coverings and do, you know, our best to communicate out to the community.
And we're going to talk about all of that in our discussion today. But first, I want to get to the uniqueness of AC Valley. Because you're the only district, I think, in the state. You span four different counties. I mean, you're talking about a little bit of Armstrong, a little bit of Butler, Clarion, Venango in there as well. First of all, when this all started, we were still in school. How did you deal with this when we were in different colors? Because I believe at one time, Butler was different than Clarion.
Yeah, that's correct. And it is quite a challenge. And we are in four different counties, the only school in the state of Pennsylvania. And it is unique. With that being said, we're located here in Clarion County. So we've been basing all our decisions off of data coming from Clarion County because the bulk of our students are in Clarion and Venango. Unfortunately, the rate of transmission and the spread of the disease has been relatively low comparing it to other counties within the state.
So even if we were to go to different colors again, Butler, Venango, you know, all the counties, if we were different, you would stick with Clarion is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's correct. And, okay. And again, I hear that the color system's going away, and they've changed the three different designations from mild, moderate, and severe. So, so right now what we're doing, and we communicated that out amongst the school board as well as the community, we're going to base a lot of our decisions off the recommendations associated with Clarion County.
But the nice thing is that I know that the school districts have been collaborating. We've been talking about that with all the other school districts as well. And on that collaboration, in that collaboration, I should say, has been Dr. Love from the Butler Health System. And Butler Health System also runs the Clarion Hospital. So even if you're following Clarion's guidelines, you still have the same doctor that we have with the infectious disease specialty telling us what's happening.
That's correct.
When's your first day of school? What are you planning on? I know you said that you're going to be going through some days to get used to the technology and protocols, but when's your first day of school?
On August 26th, we're going to send our students up to the Career Center. The students who are enrolled, they'll come on campus. We'll have busing set up for them to go from here up to the Clarion County Career Center. And they'll do Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And then Monday, August 31st, we'll begin face-to-face instruction, remote learning, and as well as our AC Valley Cyber Service Program.
Now, you also put out a survey for parents to respond, and I know we're getting right up to school here. Have all the responses come in? Do you still need some parents to respond? And what happens if the response is not filled out?
Yeah, Tracy. So we've been meeting all summer long, weekly meetings with a group of school board members, union representation, and administrators, and we created a plan. With that being said, part of the plan was outreach and communication. So we put together a Google Doc. We communicated that out to our local community and encouraged everybody to complete it with the goal of having 100% completion. We gave them a deadline of August 7th. With that being said, on Monday, August 10th, the administrative staff and their assistants actually picked up the phone and we called everybody. So we have 100% of our responses categorized right now. So with that being said, we have roughly 90% of our students coming back to face-to-face instruction. We have about 90 students that are going to do our hybrid learning, so we're going to actually provide them with the opportunity to learn from home through a distant learning platform using AC Valley teachers and AC Valley curriculum. And then we have a small percentage of students that are at our own AC Valley cyber service program, which is fully remote and run from our business department.
You have a lot of space up there, a lot of land in the area where you are. It's a little different than if you're coming to like the city of Butler, like downtown Butler, of course. Do you have any issues with internet connections? Do you have any problems there with people not being able to access? Do you have any cyber problems, if you will?
That's a great question, and the answer to that is yes. Broadband internet is not robust across the state of Pennsylvania. I've been working with both local and state representatives, G.T. Thompson, Glenn, Mike Kelly's office, and Don Oberlander, Scott Hutchinson, communicating with them on a regular basis to provide that opportunity to our students. A lot of our families, we encompass 121 square miles. We're relatively limited with the student population that we have. We're kind of opposite of what Butler probably is looking at right now. And we do have a portion of those students that don't have internet access. With that being said, we are planning to put together packets of information, you know, the old paper and pencil, and providing that learning opportunity with those students. But the biggest concern that we have with that is assessments. And we all understand that it's really important to provide immediate feedback. So that's probably the biggest concern that I have with that group right there. I'm sure that we can get everything out and get it back in. But feedback from the teachers back to the students in a relatively quick time frame is very important.
And so I've asked all school districts, which I will ask you as well, about COVID cases. But again, you may be in a very unique position because, again, the counties around Butler were different at one point in the way of COVID numbers. And then if you go south with the Pittsburgh circle, if you will, when they were a little higher. So what is it that you've been seeing with the COVID numbers in your area? And what will you do if you start to see some cases pop up in your school district?
Our numbers in Clarion County and Venango are relatively low compared to Butler and Armstrong. So the numbers are a little bit higher. We're watching the new dashboard and we'll continue to monitor that. With that being said, if we have any kind of COVID outbreaks or positive or even signs, we do have a quarantine room designated at both schools. Our school nurses, we do have a certified school nurse in both schools. And just for everybody's understanding, we have two buildings on one campus. So we have a K-6 and a 7-12 building that are adjacent to one another. The campus sits on 50 acres in beautiful Foxburg. So with that being said, I'll be in direct communication because I am the pandemic coordinator as well with the school nurses, and we're to have a direct liaison through the Department of Health. So if we had any positive cases or was aware of anything, then we'll immediately begin contact tracing, and we'll seek the guidance of the Department of Health, and together we'll err on the side of caution and do our best to keep everybody safe moving forward.
And Dr. McDivitt, I'll also let you know, and if folks are listening to just this interview, because maybe this is your school district, great, thank you for listening to this one. If you're listening to all the school districts, this is a question that, or a point that I've made in almost every interview that I've done with the school districts, that when you talk about the Department of Health, it would be up to them to tell you if you have a case. Is that not correct? Just because you have a child that may have a temperature doesn't mean that you automatically test right there for COVID. It would be up to the Department of Health to tell the school district that the district has a case of COVID.
Yeah, you know, all we can do is the assessment and make the recommendation. And that was brought up at our Monday school board meeting. You know, what if the parents don't want to have the child tested? And, you know, it goes back to building relationships and having two very, very well educated and fantastic nurses here on campus. And we got to build a relationship with the families. And I think right now if you know, parents have a child who's sick, they take them to the doctors and have them tested. And then from that point, we will work in conjunction with the Department of Health as far as a potential positive COVID case. But, you know, again, like everything else, Tracy, we're learning. It's all coming in quickly. And, you know, we will err on the side of caution to ensure everybody's safety.
I went on to your Facebook page for your school district and just wanted to get an update myself on things. And I saw a parent had posted a question about something that they heard. And that's why I want to talk to you. Because a lot of us hear rumors, a lot of us hear questions being passed along, and we're not sure exactly what the protocol is. So the question that was posted online was something related to that the individual had heard that if a child had even symptoms that was assumed to be related to COVID, that the district could keep the child from the parent until a COVID test is done. Is that true? Is that not true? What's your response to that?
No. What we'll do is we'll communicate it immediately to that parent. And again, part of our health and safety plan, the parents are to check for any COVID-related symptoms from their children before they put them on a bus or drop them off at school. And if they have any of the symptoms, high temperature, cough, you know, everything else that we're well aware of, they're to keep them home. And we do encourage them to, you know, have the child tested. With that being said, if that child shows up and they have any kind of symptoms that may arise once they get on the campus, you know, we are going to be working in a very discreet manner. And again, we understand the HIPAA rules and FERPA and how it protects everybody's medical rights. With that being said, we will contact that parent immediately and, you know, work in conjunction with them as well as the Department of Health as far as the next steps. But no, that's not correct. We won't keep the child from the parents.
And I think all questions from parents are valid and legitimate, and I don't think there's a bad question. But
I
know we can't go through all questions today, but have you been fielding any major concern or areas of concerns that continually pop up from parents that you'd like to address here?
You know, Tracy, probably the biggest thing that we're overcoming right now is the recent restrictions on face coverings. So at one time, Dr. Levine had, you know, passed a face covering or executive order, and that was back in July. And there were some stipulations associated with it. So the students had to wear masks when they could not maintain a 6-foot distance. So with that being said, we have some of our students that are out on distance learning and cyber education. So we thought, okay, we'll be able to separate the kids 6 feet, you know, wear the mask and any kind of transition and interaction they have with other people, and then get into the classroom. And, you know, we're here for 7.5 hours a day, and take off the mask and let the teachers teach and the students, you know, learn in a more comfortable manner. With that being said, the face covering guidelines have become more restricted. So basically, the way I understand it is that all students and all staff are to keep masks on at all times. With that being said, they can take 10-minute mask breaks periodically throughout the day. So probably the biggest question I have right now and concerns are related to face coverings. So with that being said, we did buy face shields. We bought enough for our entire staff and as well as the student body. So upon request, we'll give out the face shields. We also bought 5,000 face masks. So if somebody shows up and does not have a mask, we'll be able to give that mask out. With that being said, we are requiring everybody, students and staff and outside guests, which we will limit, to wear masks at all times. And again, we're just following the executive order from Dr. Levine.
And of course, never having to do this before, we don't know what it will be like and how this can be accomplished. Do you and your staff, do your administrators all think, okay, how in the world is this going to happen? Or do you just push forward and say, this is what we have to do, and so we will make it happen?
Probably a little of both. I'd say, you know, if you really think about a kindergarten student coming in here and, you know, part of that learning process is how to interact and share and collaborate with one another and follow directions. A lot of real basic information that right now, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can tie that into the curriculum, but also maintain social distancing and face mask. And, you know, the kids, you know, in the upper grade levels, you know, we're concerned about them, you know, keeping the mask on and, you know, how they react to it. So, yeah, there's a lot of concerns out there with the administration and teachers, and I'm sure the parents as well. But we're also well aware of the guidelines. We're going to enforce the rules and the expectations. The administration and teaching staff here at AC Valley, as well as our other support staff, we're going to model good behavior, just like cell phones, for example. We don't have cell phones out during the day. That's a rule for all the students, and the staff's the same way. We're to model that. You know, we can have the cell phone on, vibrate, and put it away, and before school, after school, or maybe during a prep period, the staff can use the cell phones. But during the day, there's no cell phones. So we kind of equate the same thing with the mask.
I just, I've expressed every time that I think you all were in an impossible position. I know you'll make it work. I know you will. And you love teaching. You love what you do. But this is just an impossible situation for you all to make it perfect. And you all have a full plate. And I can't imagine what your teachers now will have to go through in adding this to their classrooms. And I think of the nonverbal communication that we all are missing. It doesn't matter if we're in school or not, by wearing the masks. But if the masks are recommended and help, then we need to do so. What are your teachers or have you spoken to your teachers on how they'll help with the emotional health of their kids, even though your focus is education?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest underlying concern that we have right now. We have a school counselor in both buildings, and we have a social worker that comes down periodically from the IU. We have a full special education staff, full-time school psychologist, and a special ed supervisor. With that being said, we'll be working in conjunction with them to you know, work with the students. And being a small school like this, we know our students, we know our families, and we'll be able to communicate with them. Now, with that being said, there are certain students that have a hard time wearing a mask. So we have a variety of different offerings to them. Like I said earlier, we have face shields. We even have some face shields that you can kind of hold in front of you for various students, because there are some kids that have a very difficult time with anything on their face or maybe their head. You know, something like, for example, our speech services, you know, we're working with our speech teacher to be able to ensure that she's able to do her job, because like you said, there's a lot of those nonverbals, and she has to be able to see the students' mouths and you know, work with the students on a more intimate basis.
Now, you say that at AC Valley you have about 90% of the kids coming back. You have fewer students. How are you going to deal with the class sizes, buses, and separating kids? Because if you're going to have almost full classes, do you have the space in your rooms to be able to separate these desks 6 feet apart?
We're going to do our best to separate the desk, and we're working with our maintenance supervisor to work with the teachers to get everything separated. For the most part, we're going to be able to maintain the 6 feet. I can't guarantee that throughout every classroom in both buildings. You know, we have some classrooms up at the high school that are pretty full. So we're going to do our best to enforce face coverings. As far as transportation, we're opening up the school early. We're going to have it staffed at 7 a.m. so that we can have parents have the opportunity to drop their children off before work. And we're also going to stay open till 4 o'clock to, you know, provide the parents with more time to pick up the kids after work. And that's going to help reduce the number of students on our transportation fleet. With that being said, you know, we have 121 square miles. We have 6 bus contractors and 12 buses and a number of vans. And we're so rural up here at times, we have to send vans down to pick up kids to drop them off at a certain bus stop. So we're going to run those vans independently and bring them the whole way back here. So we're doing our best to reduce the number of students on the buses. With that being said, we have a limited number of busing and contractors. So We're going to do our best to not exceed more than two students per seat. We're hoping to limit the number of students, but again, we're encouraging them to have face coverings on, as well as the bus driver and van driver, before they get on. You know, some of the transitions throughout the day, you know, we're going to make one-way hallways where we can. We're going to just encourage everybody to stay on the right side of the hall, maintain social distancing, and keep the face coverings on at all times. So there are some challenges. The cafeteria up at the high school, we're in pretty good shape. We have a number of long rectangle tables that we can separate the kids out by 6 feet, ensure that everybody's sitting in the same direction, and they can take off their mask and have a break and eat lunch. Down here at the elementary, we have more students and we have less space. So we're actually working right now to use the gymnasium as part of the cafeteria just to spread the kids out a little bit more. So we're still in planning phases with that, but we're about 90% ready to go.
Having the exterior space that you do, the campus that you do, are you able to get outside at all while you still have the advantage of the weather?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to encourage the students and staff to get outside whenever possible.
Let me ask you about budgeting. Let me ask you about staffing, and then I'll let you go. So, of course, we're talking with AC Valley right now. Dr. McDivitt on the phone with me. Budget, you are a smaller school district. Do you think that you'll have any shortfall in your budget because of the technology, the PPE, any extra precautions that you put in place?
Tracy, the budget's been a concern for a good number of years. We're very active with grant writing, and we'll do what we can to help offset local taxpayers and the overall expenditures within the district. So we do what we can in that part. Even before the pandemic came, the fair funding formula has not been very beneficial to a small school like AC Valley. Hold Harmless, which was approved years ago, basically we never get less money than what we did the year before from the state. And with all those combined into the revenue coming in, you know, we obviously get money from the state, the federal government, and then local taxpayer money. You know, it's tough to make everything work. So the additional technology, like I stated earlier, we wrote grants years ago. We had the Keystones to Opportunity grant. So we do have a number of Chromebooks in here. We have enough. We're actually going one-to-one. Some of the CARES money that's coming in here, we're going to use to buy additional technology, cameras for the teachers. So we're going to outfit everybody to ensure a robust program, even if we had to do fully distance learning. I'm pretty comfortable right now that everybody has technology needed to make that happen. So there are additional costs. There has been more money coming in through the CARES Act, as well as a PCCD grant that we recently wrote. So we're very fortunate to have the additional money coming in right now. But just like anything else, we could be doing more in different areas if we had more revenue coming in.
Let me ask you about your teachers, and then I will let you go. I do appreciate your time and staying over here a couple of minutes with us. But your teachers, of course, they do. Some have legitimate concerns of coming back. Some wanting to make sure they get back. There's a variety of opinions. How have you worked with your teachers to be able to get this school year started?
That's a great question, and I'd like to first start by saying that we have some of the best teachers that I've ever had the opportunity to work with, and very honored to be able to serve them as superintendent. We've kept the ACVEA union president, as well as some of the building reps, in the conversation. As I stated earlier, we met periodically throughout the summer. Every week we'd have a Zoom meeting or Google Meets meeting, and they were part of it. So they were part of the discussion and the planning phase, and they voiced their concerns, and they're legitimate. We all have concerns, but probably more importantly, they're anxious to get back in. I mean, they're teachers. That's what they do, and they want to work with kids, and they want to work with them face-to-face, and they're eager to learn the online learning platform as well, and I feel very confident that they have a skill set to be able to quickly adhere to, you know, new technologies that are emerging. We also did a end-of-year in-service day to finish off the 19-20 school year, and what we've been working on is a reunification plan. You know, God forbid we ever have any kind of crisis here. We need to be able to get the students back to their parents. So with that being said, we did a face-to-face in-service day, and I had 100% of my staff come back in. And again, we encouraged social distancing and face coverings, and it seemed to go very well. Right now, I expect 100% of the staff coming back in, and we're going to be working with staff, and meeting their needs and talking with them and keeping the line of communication open. And, again, hopefully we can get back in here and continue with face-to-face throughout the entire school year.
I really need to get a T-shirt that says, "If you're a teacher, I love you." Because when we hit the spring, I realized, wow, not my forte. So I just want to ask you your final thoughts before I do leave you today. AC Valley, of course, a great school district covering multiple different counties, and just that challenge that you have just with that alone. But you have a great school district with great teachers, great administration. You're doing a fabulous job. But I just want to get your final thoughts before we leave.
This whole COVID-19 thing, I think, has got everybody a little anxious. Me and my personal life, my professional life, I just want to make sure that everybody's safe, we get back in here, we do what's recommended, and hopefully we can do our best to mitigate this disease. We need to get back in here and get back to normal. I think everybody needs it. The community needs it. The kids need it. The staff needs it. And, I do feel a great burden as far as to try to ensure that everybody can get back in and function correctly. So hopefully with the team that we had pulled together, the health and safety plan, the support from our wonderful school board, the wonderful community and our teachers, I feel real good about that. And we'll take it day by day, and as well as I do, the changes happen all the time, whether it be with athletics, whether it be from the governor's office, the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And again, no fault to anybody else. This is a brand new the novel coronavirus. It's a brand new pandemic that 9 months ago nobody would have ever even thought it could exist. So I think we're all learning, we're all adapting, and with good communication and collaboration, we'll be okay.
Dr. David McDivitt, AC Valley School District, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tracy.